Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to take a moment. We want to look at some scripture here this morning. And I'm sure that God has already spoken to you this morning and dropped some things in your heart through this time of praise and worship, but I want us to formally look at the scripture. have you ever noticed somebody or some people in life that it seems like whatever they touch turns to gold? You ever know anybody like that? Whatever they touch turns to gold. Now, behind the scenes, the reality is they've probably done a lot of work and a lot of planning, been diligent. But it just seems like everything that they touch turns to gold. Everything they touch seems to be successful. And we look at that, and it's not that we are offended by them or anything like that, but we start to look at our own life and go, gee, you know, all the stuff I put my hands on, it doesn't turn to gold. It sometimes turns into disappointment, and it turns into frustration, and it turns into, put your hands on it, and all of a sudden it breaks, right? You remember having to build that little matchstick bridge in school? You ever have to build those? Or toothpick bridge? You have to glue them all together, and your fingers are full of glue, and you have to support it, and it has to be so long, you have to turn it in, and they have to lift it up. And then they have to set something on it to see if it doesn't break. Do you remember doing that for your children? I never wanted to touch those things because then you're the bad guy. You break what they and their mom did. Now, granted, when you walk by periodically, you kind of went, that ain't going to hold up. But don't get too involved, because next thing you know, yeah, you put your hands on it and the thing breaks. Yeah, we kind of look at things that we touch or other people touch, and we'd like it to all be success. We'd like it to all turn to gold. Business ventures, whatever it is. And we're going to take a look at this in a moment here, but you know, Jesus, he does his famous sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, it's a sermon that it talks about what's important to God, how to treat people, how to forgive, how to pray, what lust really is. He just goes through all this information about life. He talks about divorce. He talks about judging others. I mean, the list goes on. So here is this marvelous sermon. He talks about those of you who are broken, you're not forgotten. He talks about those you have a right attitude and you will inherit this and you will be blessed. And I haven't forgotten those who mourn. And he gives all these reminders and instructions, just marvelous teaching. And he tells these stories. And he brings a marvelous truth out that people could remember because they'll remember the story. They remember the truth. Challenged in their thought and the way they're going to live their life. Just this marvelous Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever thought about what happens on, I don't know, Monday? You watch the great game on Sunday. You ever wonder about, well, what are those players doing on Monday? What's post-game like? What's the next day look like? Jesus does this marvelous sermon on the Mount, and then I like to roll into Matthew 8. The Sermon on the Mount is over. Not that he didn't teach those things again to other people in places he went. He did. We roll into Scripture, into Matthew 8. It's kind of like, what happens the next day? What's life like the next day or into the next chapter? And I want us to look at that. You know, Matthew 8, he comes down from the mountainside and he heals a leper. He walks into the city, and here comes a centurion who asks Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus does this marvelous miracle. The centurion expresses extreme faith that Jesus marveled at and hasn't seen, you know, before. And he gets down to where now they get to a place and they're going to go into Peter's house. Not in front of the crowd anymore. Not out in the public, not on the, you know, teaching on the mountainside and thousands of people, and not strolling through town and people are tagging him and wanting things. Now he's going into Peter's home with some other people. It's a more private, intimate setting. That's what we're going to pick up. So it's after the big event. And it says, and when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law. She was laying down there sick with a fever, some type of infection, some type of attack on her body, to the point that she was so sick she had to be lying down. Normally would be part of the hostess crew for people coming in. It says that Jesus, he touched her hand and the fever left her. And she got up and she started to participate and take on the role of one of her joys of labor and showing hospitality to all of them. Jesus, he didn't, and there's anything wrong with this, but he didn't go to Peter's mother-in-law and he didn't start telling her a bunch of scriptures. He didn't start telling her about the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't even pray for her. All he did was touch her. All he did was touch her, took her hand. You see, whatever Jesus touches turns into healing. You and I get concerned about everything we put our hand to that, you know, we want it to turn to gold. I want to challenge us this morning that the things that we touch, the priority of who we touch, that our thought life is directed on who we touch. The focus would be on what's more important than silver and gold. Remember the Gate Beautiful in the book of Acts? The lame beggar? Silver and gold we don't have. But what we do have, we give to you. And they reach out and they take the man, stand him up, and begin to walk with him. Where's our focus? And there's nothing wrong with being prosperous and being successful and putting your hand to things that we're supposed to do with all our might to glorify the Lord, and that we want things to turn to gold, but is that our focus? More than what we touch would be healed. Whatever Jesus touches gets made right. It's interesting, at the beginning of Matthew 8, that leper who comes to him, Jesus touched him. An unclean man, leprous in some form. And Jesus didn't just say, go be healed. It says that Jesus reached out and touched the man. He gets to Peter's house and his mother-in-law. It just says that Jesus reached out and touched her, took her by the hand. And immediately she got up. Well, delivered of the infection and what afflicted her body. In the depths of your heart, do you think more about and wish more about what you touch turns to gold, or what you touch gets healed? If you're going to be honest and you say, you know, I think more about what I touch turning to gold than what I touch being healed, what does that say about us? Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount that wherever our heart is, wherever our mind is, wherever our priority is, wherever our passion is, wherever we spend our time, what we're focused on, no matter what we're doing, back here it's rolling around, and it's really the priority of what drives us and what we meditate on and what we think. If it is more about what we touch and do in this life turning to gold, what does that say? See, the Lord wants to fill our life that what we touch, His touch is extended, right? What did Jesus come to do? He came to undo the work of the devil and the work of sin that has crippled us, body, soul, and spirit. And that what He touches turns to healing, deliverance, hope, peace. A complete turnaround from whatever we've been plagued with. Jesus touches and they're healed. Does it even make you nervous at all to think that on that day when we say, look all I did for you, and Jesus replies and says, I never knew you. Does that make you nervous at all? And I'm not implying that you and I should run around feeling guilty and completely worried. But have you ever paused for a moment and said, what is really the priority of my life? Where is my heart really at? Is the Lord really number one? Do I seek His kingdom first above all other things? Am I focused on turning things to gold or being used to bring healing to the broken? That your touch of your hand, the arm around somebody, or just taking time to say, you know what, I'm going to listen to you, or I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to have coffee with you, and there is this connection, this touch through conversation and taking time that brings healing and hope to somebody? Or is it all about whatever I do needs to turn to gold? I think about it from time to time. Remove the letters before my name and remove my title and remove the things I've done in this life that I have hoped fall into the category of being obedient to His call upon my life to be a minister of the gospel. You strip all of that away. Will He know me on that day? Where has my treasure really been in my life? What has been the utmost priority? You and I can do a lot of good things, and they aren't necessarily sinful things. But have they become the number one things, opposed to seeking Him? You know, something strange happens here in Matthew chapter 8. And I want to read this to you. He spends time with Peter and his family and in the house, and what happens is the news spreads that he's in there, and so the people in the community start knocking on the door. They start bringing in the sick. They start bringing in the demon-possessed. And all of a sudden, once again, a crowd is forming. And Jesus does something that to me is a little bit puzzling. Here in verse 18, it says, "Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side of the sea." And this is where people come up and say, "Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. I'll follow you." And Jesus replies and lets them know that, you know, there's a cost of discipleship. Salvation is free. He's given it to us. But following him, there's a cost. It's interesting that when this crowd follows, I mean, you have to remember, Jesus is healing people. He's teaching people. And all of a sudden, another crowd starts to form, and he says, "Okay, let's get in the boat. We're going to travel across the sea. We're going to go to the other side." And I'm like, "Jesus, these people, you're healing them. You're teaching them. Well, why are you leaving? Why are you going across the sea? Wait. Linger here a little more." It's bothered me now and again when I think about that. But I look at the passage and the context and all that's going on, and I want to suggest to you that maybe, if you would consider, that Jesus isn't really purposely trying to play hard to get. Not playing hard to get. This is not a game to him. But I think that it provides an opportunity for these to go and seek him, learn what it is to follow him. And how serious is our faith to pursue God? Let's throw ourselves into the story, and that doesn't take a lot of imagination. We can just look at our life and say, "Where's my treasure? What's the focus of what I put my hands to? What's the priority to me? What's most important? What gets my utmost attention? What continues to linger in here while I do other things that I'm preoccupied with that I want to touch and have it maybe turn to gold? Or are we preoccupied with what we touch brings healing to others and glorifies him? What in my own life where Jesus seems to, for a moment, be a bit of a phantom? I don't sense him. I'm not sure. Where is he? Do we just say, "Here I am," and come? And there's moments to say, "Here I am, send me. Here I am, call me." Or, "Here I am." But where's the pursuit? We have a responsibility in that too. Jesus leaves and goes to the other side. How far will we go to know him? How far and what will we put aside to know him more and to be used by him or to become like him? You see, the parallel is, how far will I go to satisfy where my treasure really is? How far will I go? How much time will I give? How much mental and emotional energy will I give in the off time, downtime? What will you do? What are you willing to do? Because the opportunity in this life has been given to us to pursue him, to chase him. I wonder how many got in another boat and tried to follow him. I wonder how many traveled the shoreline anticipating maybe where he would go next to get there. I have to look at that in my own life. If I break out the ledgers of where I spend my time and my mind and the drifting thoughts, where do they land? And some of these things are good. Some of them don't have a ton of meaning. I'm not saying that I can't ever think about my golf swing, which is never the same and it's a total disaster. I'm not saying you can't think about those things or give some time and effort. But what stands out? In the ledger, where's all the deposits being made of time and energy and money and work and sweat? Do you want what you touch? Are you more interested in it turning to gold? Even to the point that you compromise convictions or who you are. And God will understand. It'll be okay. It's not a damning sin. Or is your priority above all things? Not that you can't work to turn things into gold. God's not against it. Hope it happens for all of you, but then when it does, it's not a trap. I hope that our focus as a follower of Jesus, the kind of follower that when our time comes, he says, yeah, I know you. I know you. I recognize you. You're welcome to come in. I know you. You can come into my kingdom. You can come into my house. You can come into this eternal dwelling. A lot of that might have to be with us being concerned about who we touch gets healed. Is given hope. Something that you took time for. Someone you took time for. And it can't be contaminated. Like I've spent a lot of time trying to turn things into gold. I want to make sure that I go and bring encouragement to a couple people. And then I can say, see God, it's not just about this. See? That's a contaminated soul. Why don't you stand up with me? I want us to be the living church. I want us to be people of his kingdom here on earth. I want our priorities to be in the right order. I want our ledgers to speak of his kingdom, his way. I want the attitude of our hearts, which he sees. And he sees beyond our arguments to justify ourselves. You see, only he justifies us. The expression of a true faith. We live as broken people in a broken world and among brokenness. I want you to hear that gold will not solve all your problems. Well, the resources of this world could sure seems like it, and they can help. They're to be a tool. God provides, right? He prospers. It is a sign of his blessing, can be. But remember this. You can't take any of it with you. That stuff's not welcomed where we're going. We can't wait till then to make what's important most important. This is the time. This is the hour. This is the opportunity. This is the life. So after the great moments of your life, great weekend, great day, great church service, great moment, bringing someone hope or touching them and God heals them or whatever it is. What about the post game? Jesus carried on in private that which he did in public. May the privacy of our life and our heart and our thoughts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Right? The meditation of my heart. I want you involved publicly that which you touch prospers and brings healing. But I want the same thing in your private life. I want the same thing in my private life. Pray for my dad. I touch my dad. When I touch him, I don't always pray for him. But I want somehow when I touch him or hold him or pick him up on days where he can't transfer from one place to another, that somehow that embrace to pick up my dad would somehow get a message that it's the arms of Jesus, it's not the arms of Randy. I want it to be his touch. But when I shake your hand and pat you on the back and hug you and, you know, all those expressions of friendship and this demonstrative pastor who even hugs some of you who are not comfortable with it. Pardon me. I hope some way, some shape, some form that not what I touch turns to gold, but it's somehow he touches you. In that touch, it brings you something. That God's mindful of you. God cares for you. That God can touch you. I want that to be what it is for us. For one another. But for those outside these walls. And in the public life. The more intimate settings. The private settings. The one-on-ones. And not just if you were focused on, oh, I've got to minister to this person. No. Just a touch. Because they matter. I want these little grandkids that we have. Somehow when I tease them and play with them and joke with them and kiss them and pat them on the back and poke them and tickle them. And somehow, I want this Jesus I'm endeavoring to follow to somehow come out of me. That they know they got a safe place. Or I can go to Papa. Or as my kids, I say, Dad, I got to talk to you. Dad, I really need you to pray for me. Dad, I just want you to hug me. I can't take credit for it if there's some measure of comfort or something they get. It's got to be him. Because I can do no good thing on my own. So I want you to be mindful. Or are you more interested in having it turn to gold? Or are you going to become like the master that you and I proclaim, hoping that what we touch brings healing?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.